Lemonade, The Escape from Poland. Welcome to Part 5, entitled From Sour to Sweet. And here is Dr. K. Kuzma.
We start the story today about just at the time when the secret policeman was looking through all, the secret official, whatever he was, was looking through all the boxes that Mommy and Aunt Donna and Christine and Yannick and baby George had. And he was looking through everything to try to find if there was any silver hidden. And he finally got to what? The black satchel. And he picked it up, and he shook the black satchel, and the children knew that if he would look in the black satchel, open the book of the black satchel, what would he find? All the special papers that were the Polish birth certificates and marriage certificates and all the school records of the children from Poland that would prove their Polish citizenship. And they didn't want to find that because they were going through this special camp on Mom's citizenship because she was German. So they were in the camp, and he was holding the black satchel. Everything else was open, but the black satchel was closed completely, locked up. And this man, who was a very intelligent man, whom the government had hired to search and find things that people shouldn't have, he lifted up this black satchel, shook it, looked around, kind of with a funny look on his face, looked at the black satchel again, and said, "I looked at this, didn't I?" And he threw it over on the other pile. Oh! Now, this was an answer to prayer. It says in Psalms 50:15, "Trust me in your time of trouble, so I can rescue you and you can give me glory." Remember when Christine was standing there and she moved the black satchel all by herself? They were praying, but she tried to help herself, didn't she? And what happened? The man, it made a noise, and the man started to search again. But this time, no way could the family help themselves. They were desperate. They really needed a miracle now, and God performed a miracle. Remember Psalms? Do you remember where it says? Psalms 50:15. Can you say it all with me? Psalms 50:15. Look it up when you get home. It says, "Trust me in your times of trouble, so I can rescue you, and then you can give me glory." Because we didn't do it on our own. We were at the bottom. We had no resources. Well, the man searched through everything else then, and he left. Oh, the family was so happy. He had finally gone. The next day came, and the next day, and the children tried to remember not to argue in Polish. And that one lady walked around camp all this time because she didn't know any German, playing that she was deaf and dumb. Oh, when would they schedule the train to come and take them on down to Germany into freedom and safety so they could be with their father? Finally, they announced that the train would be coming on a certain day. They packed up early in the morning, and now it was such a hot, blistery, summery day. They packed up everything and they took it all out to the siding beside the railroad track. There wasn't a station there or anything, just a siding where they put all of their boxes to get ready for the train. The train pulled in and then it didn't go anyplace. It just waited. And everybody was walking out around in the heat, and everybody was saying, "When is the train going to go? When are they going to let us on the train? When are we going to leave?" And they said, "Oh, it's not going to be for hours yet. Not for hours yet." Well, Yannick was so thirsty. And he began to feel his pocket. Do you remember what he had on? That Pathfinder suit all filled with, or that suit with lots of pockets at least, all filled with money. And on top of that, another suit of clothes. And on top of that, another jacket. I mean, he was hot. And he remembered all that money. And he said, "Mommy, I am so thirsty, and there's nothing to drink here. And baby George is crying, he's thirsty, and Donna's thirsty, and Christine's thirsty. Mommy, I can see town right over there. And since the train isn't going to be leaving for hours, Mom, can't I take a bucket and go and get some lemonade?" "Oh," said his mama, "I don't know if that's such a good idea or not." "Please," said Yannick, "please, it's the last time I'll ever be in Poland. Let me go and see if I can get some lemonade." Well, mommy was not quite sure about this, but she went up to where the train officials were, and she asked, "What time will the train be leaving?" And the railroad officials said, "Well, probably about noon." Oh, that was 2 or 3 hours yet. Plenty of time. So she came back, gave Yannick a bucket, and said, "Okay, run and get us some lemonade." So he headed off with a bucket in his hand, off to town that he could see in the distance. This was the last time he'd ever be in a Polish town, and he was so excited. Here he was going to town all by himself to get this lemonade. I mean, he was really a big kid here. And he headed off to town, and when he finally got to town, he was walking through town, and he began to notice all the things in the windows. And then he remembered all this money on him. I mean, talk about being loaded. He was loaded. And he thought, "Oh, you know what I would really like? I would like to buy something, a souvenir from my last time in Poland." And he started to look through all the windows of all the shops. And he went into a shop and he looked around. Oh, he couldn't decide what he wanted. And then he went out of that shop and into another shop, trying to figure out what he wanted. And then he saw it. There in a glass case, a beautiful little pair of binoculars, opera glasses. And he asked the man to let him see them. And oh, they were so fancy he could wind it out and see way far away and then turn it around the other way and see real close. And you know, oh, he was having so much fun with that. And finally asked the man, "How much are they?" And the man told him, and he dug in underneath all those pockets. And he got out a wad of bills, and he pulled them out, and he counted it out for the man. And the man gave him the opera glasses, and he was so excited. He came out of the store, and he almost forgot what he was there for. The lemonade! Of course, the lemonade! And so he grabbed the bucket, and then he went to try to find the lemonade stand so that he could get some lemonade for the family. He finally located the lemonade stand. They filled up the bucket. And he decided it was probably about time to head back to the train. In fact, he kind of looked up in the sky and he said, "Ooh, the sun looks like it's almost overhead. It must be about noon. Maybe I better kind of hurry along here." So he was walking along at a pretty nice clip, but he wasn't in that big of a hurry. And finally, he came over the last hill. And as he came over the last hill, he looked down to where the train should be, and the train was beginning to move. Yannick couldn't believe it. He started running like he had never run in his life, screaming at the top of his lungs, "Wait for me! Wait for me! I'm coming!" And the train started moving, and he could see his mother standing close to the engine of the train, screaming at the train dispatcher, "Stop the train! Stop the train! My son is coming! Stop the train!" Yannick couldn't believe it. He started running like he had never run in his life, screaming at the top of his lungs, "Wait for me! Wait for me! I'm coming!" And the train started moving, and he could see his mother standing close to the engine of the train, screaming at the train dispatcher, "Stop the train! Stop the train! My son is coming! Stop the train!" And he ran like he had never ran before. And when he came up to the train started to stop. But the scary thing was that the train dispatcher was the very same railroad official that met them in town and said to all those women and children, "I know you want to escape. Come with me and I'll show you a place to stay." And they were so afraid that he would report them. Now he knew this family. He recognized that mother. He recognized Yannick running down the hill. He knew what they were doing. He could have turned them in, but instead he flagged down the train. He waved down the train, stopped the train, and Yannick and his mommy got on the train. There wasn't much lemonade in the bucket when he finally got on the train. In fact, nobody even talked about lemonade when they got on the bucket or when they got on the train. I don't even know if he got on the train with a bucket. What do you think that mommy talked about when they got on the train? Yannick remembers what happened. He sat right next to the window and he glued his nose to the window and he watched the telephone poles go by faster and faster and faster and faster and faster and faster, and he didn't look anyplace else. But that didn't keep his mommy from saying a few words. What do you think that mommy said? "What took you so long? Yannick, where have you been? How come you didn't come straight back?" And she told him that for 20 minutes she had waited. They were going to leave 20 minutes earlier. For 20 minutes she held up that train saying, "You can't leave. My son is going to be here shortly. You cannot leave." Finally, after 20 minutes, she could hold up the train no longer, and they said it had to go. Suddenly, this mother had to make a decision. What should she do? Here she was trying to escape from Poland. Her son wasn't there. There was Christine and Donna, maybe 11 and 13, 12 and 14 years of age, just young kids, and baby George. She finally decided, instead of leaving Yannick behind all by himself, that she would send the two girls and baby brother George on to Germany. Hopefully their daddy would find them. Hopefully he would be there when they got off the train. She would send them on and she would wait behind for Yannick. She would give up her chance for freedom for her son. That's love, don't you think? And you know the beautiful thing is that God loves us so much. Jesus gave his own life for us so we could live forever. Doesn't that make you feel loved? Well, the train went on down to Germany. Daddy was there with a horse and buggy, actually. It was a really big occasion, and he got a horse and buggy, met his family, and the kids were so excited. And then they went to the German camp, the displaced persons camp, waiting to get to America. They wanted to come to America, to the United States. And they prayed and they waited and they went through health checks. And finally, after four years, they were able to come to the United States. Now, the interesting thing, during these 4 years in Germany, there wasn't too much to do in camp. And so Yannick would play soccer. Oh, and it was fun to play soccer, but he hated school. And every day when he went to school, he never had his lessons done. So the teacher would spank him. And when they got home, his sister, who was in the same grade, told Mom and Dad that Yannick got a spanking at school, so he got another spanking at home. And sometimes Yannick was a little mischievous and did some other things that perhaps he shouldn't have done. And in that school, they would draw a circle up on the blackboard and make Yannick kneel on pebbles. He wore those lederhosen, they're called, those shorts. And he would make him kneel on some pebbles on the ground with his hands in a circle way above his head. And when his hands got tired and started to come down, everybody in class would say, "His hands are coming down!" And up they would go again, or else he would get it again. But when this kid, who never did well in school at all, didn't even like school, but boy, he loved soccer, when he came to the United States on a big ship sailing in to New Orleans, he got off that ship, and with thousands of people around, he went up to a rather stout gentleman and his wife, and he said, "Mr. Jensen?" And the man nodded his head. He found the people that were there who had offered them a place on their farm. And they went out to Texas to work for a whole year, hoeing cotton, picking cotton, and hoeing in the watermelon patch. And when Yannick spent a whole year picking cotton for 30 cents an hour, you know what Yannick decided he was going to do? He didn't really want to pick cotton for the rest of his life. He decided he was going to study and get good grades. And he found that he could get better grades in English than the kids who grew up knowing the language. And he started studying, went to Andrews University, graduated from Andrews University, came to Loma Linda University. I know you're not interested in this, but when he came to Loma Linda, he met me. And that was the best thing he'd ever done. And we got married, and we had Kim, Kari, and Kevin. You know, we can learn something when we look back at our families. God really has us in His hands in a special way. And if we'll just reach out and talk to Him and put our faith in Him, why, any time you get in trouble, and it's easy to get in trouble, isn't it? You can remember, what verse are you going to remember? What verse? Psalms 50:15. Trust me in your time of trouble. So what? So what was God going to do? Trust me in your time of trouble so I can rescue you and you can give me the glory. Kimberly, when she was starting to write the story down, decided to call it Lemonade. Because the story ends with lemonade, even though it may have begun with a sour experience. And that's the way the Lord wants to make our lives. He wants to take the sour experiences and add the sugar of His Holy Spirit and His love and turn your lives from lemons into lemonade. God bless.
This has been another classic sermon from the Archive of American Christian Ministries. This recording has been digitally reprocessed from the original audio cassette or reel-to-reel in order to make this CD available. The audio quality was improved as much as possible. International copyright, American Christian Ministries. All rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.americanchristianministries.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. You can trust ACM. There is no compromise here. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with our speakers and volunteer workers to encourage them. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He's coming soon.